The night is past and the day lies open before us. Let us pray. God our Father, we give thanks to you for the way that you minister to the whole of our lives. You have given us the gift of sleep to refresh our bodies and to clarify our minds. You have given us your word, which nourishes our souls. And from your word, you have given us the example of Jesus, who is our example as we go through every day as a journey, seeking to be faithful to you. We're grateful that we can look to Jesus as a pattern for living in all that we say, in all that we think, and in all that we do. And what we ask for this time together is a sense of his presence with us, that he will be more real to us as we look to him to be our master and our friend. We pray that you would enable us to know when things have taken us from the path of truth and of righteousness. Enable us to realize the importance and the gravity of this, but never let us drift from the knowledge that everything that is wrong, everything that is compromised, everything that can take us from the true path, all of that can be forgiven as we focus on the sacrifice of Jesus. So we pray that today we would have an assurance of the renewal of life, and that this service today would be a contribution to our going forward together in faith. All of this we ask in the name and for the sake of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Friends, we will say our responsive psalm together, and Psalm 52 is our psalm this morning. You'll find it in the inside back cover of the book. Psalm 32, which begins, "Happy are they whose transgressions are forgiven." And we'll read this in the usual way. "Happy are they whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sin is put away. Happy are they to whom the Lord imputes no guilt, and his spirit no guile. While I held my tongue, my bones withered away because of my groaning all day long. For your hand was heavy upon me day and night. My moisture was dried up as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my guilt. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Then you forgave me the guilt of my sin. Therefore all the faithful will make their prayers to you in time of trouble. When the great waters overflow, they shall not reach them. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like horse or mule, which have no understanding. You must be fitted with bit and bridle, or else they will not stay near you. Great are the tribulations of the wicked, but mercy embraces those who trust in the Lord. Be glad, you righteous, and rejoice in the Lord. Shout for joy, all who are true of heart. Have mercy on your prodigal children, O God, and teach us to acknowledge our sinfulness, so that in repentance we may come to know your forgiveness, which is the fulfillment of our life in your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our Bible reading this morning is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 42, verses 1 to 17. "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail or be discouraged, till he hath set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that createth the heavens and sets them out, he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and the spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord. This is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the form of things have come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, and villages that Kedar doth inhabit, let the inhabitants of the rock sing, let them shout from the top of the mountains. I have holden my time, my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now I will cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up all their hair, and I will make rivers and islands, and I will dry up the pools, and I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not, and I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things I will do unto them and not forsake them. They shall be turned back, and they shall be greatly ashamed of that trust in graven images, that say unto molten images, ye are our gods. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to us this morning. First of all, I want to welcome you all to this morning service. The second Lent service of the series of six leading up to Easter. The theme for Lent that's been given is the Servant King, his ministry to us. And this morning we will ponder an aspect of that, which is Jesus, a light for the Gentiles. Verse 1 in this book gives a description of the relationship between Jesus and his Father, and yet it's within the context of a imposing or a coming kingdom, and Jesus is to play his own part in installing this. A description of him, chosen and beloved, of the triune God, chosen. And every time we see that elect, we think of predestination, don't we? We think of something that has been done a long time ago, something that has been decided. And I think we can say with an absolute certainty this morning that before the foundation of the world, that Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, became a human being and was elected to die on a cross, because God the Father knew exactly what was going to happen before it happened. So Jesus was predestined to walk in this earth and to die for the sins of men. It's a very powerful thing when we think about it, because we are mere mortal beings. We don't live in eternity, and we obviously, by the Lord Jesus Christ, we do hope to live in eternity. But that thought is absolutely tremendous when it actually sinks into your heart and into your soul. There can be no doubt at all, as I said, that the person described is our Lord Jesus Christ. The theme, the light to the Gentiles, Jesus speaks of himself in John 8 verse 12. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. A saying in John 12, verse 46, I am come a light into the world, and whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And then we've got that beautiful description, haven't we, in John, verse 4, chapter 1, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness to that light. All men through him might believe. John was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness to that light. That light was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Jesus. Simple as that. We know who the Father is talking about when we hear that. While the Bible reading has much to do with the subjection and liberation both of the world with his return and reign, and how he will win the nations, and every time I feel that, I think of that wonderful hymn, I cannot tell. I cannot tell how he will win the nations, how he will claim his earthly heritage. There is, of course, as in many biblical prophetical passages, a partial and running fulfillment. A good example of this is our topic this morning, a light to the Gentiles, or as Matthew says in chapter 12, verse 20, in him will the Gentiles trust. But I ask you this morning, what is a Gentile? Now, I remember a childish concept, and I'm just a wee lad. Is it somebody who lives their lives gently? No, it's not. A Gentile... A Gentile, simply put, since the foundation of the Christian Church, of the Church of Jesus Christ, simply put, a Gentile is a non-Jewish person, is a person who is not part of the Jewish covenant, the uncircumcised. It's as simple as that. Every single human being who is not of the household of faith of Judaism is considered by Jewish people to be a Gentile. It's as simple as that. Since the foundation of the Church of Jesus Christ, which arose from Jewish roots, Gentiles, and that's us, have looked to Jesus for salvation. And this is perfectly explained and expounded in Paul's letters to the churches. And how God's will was that all men and all women will come to him. And that he is our God as well as the God of the Hebrews. And the reason that we can approach him is because he has given us the means by which to approach him. The cross. It's as simple as that. It's all been preordained. And for 2,000 years this has been the case. There are around probably more than 2 billion Gentiles that trust in Jesus, that look to Jesus for salvation in the world today. So there's a partial fulfillment of this, isn't there? He has become a light to 2 billion and counting Gentiles right now. And there are people being converted right now as we speak all over the world. There are probably thousands of people that are coming to Christ every day. And this is growing, and it's an ongoing thing, and it's growing all the time, and it's unstoppable. And recently, Linda and I discussed and talked about China. There is an explosion of conversion in China. Millions of Chinese are becoming Christians. And it's absolutely astounding how the Spirit is moving all over the world. So there's a partial fulfillment of the reading. The complete fulfillment will come in the turn that he will be the true light of all the Gentiles. Not just 2 billion. Should I say a mere 2 billion? Verse 7, the blind to see. How many out there this morning are blind and oblivious to the light of the Gentiles in our country? It's obvious that we have to tell these people about the true light of the world. There is no other. There is no other. How many are prisoners of their own making this morning? The lifestyles, what they desire, has become their prison and there is no escape. And we can point them to Jesus who can break the chains. You know, it always puts me in mind of that film, Christmas Carol, the first one with Alistair Sim, and he's sitting in his house, and the ghost of Morley comes and he's carrying these huge chains. It's exactly what people are doing to their souls, is binding themselves up with chains. And Morley starts to say, oh, I made it link by link in my life, I laboured long upon it. And then he comes to Scrooge, you ought to see the size of yours. It behoves us to tell the people of the light of the world, but we must be wise and we must be gentle. The full fulfillment of all this will come to be when Jesus will be in Jerusalem. The Jewish people will have the Messiah and the Gentiles will have their one and only true light, and all will be complete. The Father will act to bring this about, and we can see a slight description about it. I am the Lord, and this is my name, I will give glory to nobody else. And in 13, the Lord shall go forth. This is the Father. The Father will bring about all this change. Jesus will be in Jerusalem, and the Father, by the Holy Ghost, will bring about the conversion of the whole world. It's as simple as that. And people can't deny it. You can't deny the sight of your eyes. The people will be unable to deny the power that is here in the Holy Ghost as the Father begins to reconcile the world to himself. And it's as simple as a wonderful thing to think about. The blind in heart, the blind in sight will see, and the Lord says he will make straight the paths. Right? He will alter this whole situation so that it's plainly obvious to people that Jesus is the Messiah, is the Saviour of the world. Right now, I think people are almost blinded. But God, the Lord God Almighty, will remove that so that they may see. And once see, believe, because they'll not be able to deny him. And therefore, all the Gentiles will believe. And Jesus will be a light to all the Gentiles, every single human being in this planet. These are the things I will do. It reminds me of a song that I heard years and years ago, Phil Craigie and friends, and the song verse goes like this. These are the things I will do, I will do, I will do, and I will not leave them undone. Once the Lord God Almighty has spoken, he will fulfill everything he has said. Everything. There will be nothing left undone. The Lord will complete his mission. The Messiah will reign and will be the light of the world, as Jesus said about himself. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are to us the one and only true light. Father, we thank you that you sent your Son, that he walked on this earth and he fulfilled your will. And that's why we're here this morning, 2,000 years later, praising your name, thanking you and worshipping you. We ask you, Lord, to be with us at this time, today and in the weeks ahead, as we think about that sacrifice and the glorious implications that it brought to mankind. Amen.